May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with all of us today. We will begin these evening services by quieting around the Word of God, which I'll read in Jesus' name from the 18th chapter of Luke, from the beginning, 8 verses. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Amen. In the beginning of the 18th chapter of Luke, which is our text, Jesus gives two parables of prayer. The other parable we haven't heard, but if God wills, I will borrow from it. It is the more familiar of the two prayers, the Pharisee and the publican. Before we go into this parable, Jesus tells before this parable, it's like he prepares the hearer and the reader by explaining of what the parable is speaking. Jesus presented to the disciples to teach them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is speech between, or discussion between God and man. And it is also the prayer is also the speech of the heart to God. Already in the beginning part of the Old Testament, it speaks of prayer. When Seth was born a son, and he gave him the name of Enos. And then it was mentioned that in those times they began to cry for help to the Lord. One form of prayer is prayers on behalf of one another. Luther emphasizes the significance of this prayers on behalf of people in his worship service, that if there weren't prayers on behalf, it would be just the same to quit, not to stop the whole Mass. So important is this petition. In the Old Testament, there are many examples and four pictures of great prayers of on behalf. Prayers who did not faint. For example, Abraham was such a one. One who fought through prayer. And God sent Abraham, "Are you going to destroy the righteous with the evil? If there are 50 righteous in the city, do you intend to destroy them?" Well, if there were only 50 righteous, will you preserve it and destroy the righteous with the evil? That the righteous would have the same fate as the evil. And the Lord said, if in Sodom, the city of Sodom would be 50 righteous, I will, on behalf of them, preserve the whole place. If there are 5 missing from this 50, would you destroy on behalf of the 5? And God, the Lord said that he would not destroy it if you find 45 righteous. Quote ends. And the discussion continued, and Abraham petitioned God that he would preserve this city. Perhaps there is reason to go into this parable and present the people of this parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." When we speak, our brothers, prepare for our turn, to serve. We have our text beforehand, and certainly we would want to research this and read it precisely, this Word of God, for our text. For these two people, I have made made a difference that this judge, which was in this city, a certain city, and then at this set of this widow in the same city, who lived there also. Perhaps I'm reading this too precisely, but in my mind, this widow that she was more attached to this home city than or she lived there with her and experienced her days of joy and sorrow. Her husband had died. She was a widow. The judge could have been, because of his office in the city and functioning in this office, was not so committed to this city. And so it is said about this judge that is presented, and in this a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God, neither regarded man. This is Jesus's parable of these two people, or comparison of these two people. And this parable is one of opposites. This wrong-minded judge was compared to God, and this widow woman compared to the chosen of God. These opposites, they come from the either extreme of humankind, but nevertheless one thing united them was this, that they lived in the same city. When we find this significance, that this was a judge of Israel, and God's own chosen people were of Israel, and Paul, as the apostle, sorrowed over this, that in the midst of the people of Israel, there has been much denial of God. They have the commitment to the law, but nevertheless, Jesus's parable shows this kind of judge who did not fear God or care for man. And this, these opposites that Jesus brought out from the Old Testament, has come this largest commandment: love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. If this judge did not fear God or regard man, What can we say about the Father of Heaven? We have heard and we hear every Christmas this Christmas gospel, the song of the angels. God in the highest, and peace, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men. This widow, in any case, came to the judge to solve some issue, to avenge her adversary. This widow knew her rights. And she was adamant about this because of her adamancy. And the judge began to take care of this widow's matters. He didn't do this out of some kind of goodness, but he did it because he was worried about himself. The law of the Ten Commandments of God, which God gave on Sinai to the people of Israel in the opening phases of their journey in the wilderness, many states, many countries, have used them to create the basis for their law, and so it is in our fatherland. And in this matter, we can pray for this, that we can still be so. In the Ten Commandments of God, there are two great significance issues to protect life. The spiritual significance is this, that God, through His law, takes a hold of man. And this, our evilness and this law drives us to Christ, to Jesus. We Finnish people have many rights. And you know, sometimes I have heard that Finland is a state of rights, which means this, that all have the same rights. We are equal, and maybe this republic shows this. We also have responsibilities towards our land. I could ask, as one leader of a country said, we don't say, what can the state give to us, or what we can do for our country or our state. it's good to keep a hold of our rights, but it's also good to remember our responsibilities. And someone has written quite wisely in some publication that keeping up a friendship demands effort. And as a comparable text, is this text of Luke, which has the same contents as our text now. It speaks of two brothers and two friends. If someone of you go to the friends at the middle of the night, that brother, borrow me three pieces of bread, and if I don't have anything to offer him, the other answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and I have been sleeping with my children, I cannot get up and give you anything. But I say unto you, even though he would not get up to give bread or for his friendship, but he nevertheless will do it when he fervently asks and gives it when is asked. And anyone who knocks, it shall be opened to him. The seeker shall find. Seek and ye shall find. At these services, on this emboldenment and this call have been presented. And Jesus said that seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all, or his righteousness, and all things shall be given unto you. To accept the gospel of the kingdom of God now and here, here and now. It's good to keep a hold of our rights. I would think that we Finns are not the most demanding . But then when we remember the time of independence and the history of Finland, when Finns became awakened and demanded their rights and independence. Then it is also a beautiful matter that we aren't after everything that where we have rights. If we started to list our rights, we would have many of them. And we don't always realize how well we good we have it. Brother, in the previous sermon, we heard that we have the right and the promise to believe, or permission to believe. Because of Christ, we have the permission and the right to believe to believe from evilness to goodness. John writes, look at what kind of love has shown to us that we are called the children of God. Then when this parable this is a structured type that how much more parable, or in other words, the intention of this is to show the reader that isn't it a perfect God that the imperfect person, this judge, didn't do. It comes to mind a few of Jesus's teaching sessions with his children. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, or nor do they reap, or do not gather into storage, but still your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are much more precious than these birds. Do not be concerned about tomorrow, but care for ones. For each day, the sorrow is enough of that day. King David is certainly through the Psalms has heard it shows this portion where God sends the prophet Nathan to speak to the fallen David. Nathan said to David, you are that man. And so the Lord says, the God of Israel, that I will anoint you the king of Israel, and I preserved you from the hands of Saul. I rose, lifted you up into the position of a lord, and I gave you the tribes of Israel. And I could still give you more. Why have you transgressed against my word and before my eyes did evil? Okay, this widow came to the judge, according to tradition, to solve a certain issue, to avenge mine adversary. Avenge me of my adversary. It was the same kind of situation during the time of Elisha. We remember in the second letter of Kings, in the fourth chapter, a certain wife of a prophet asks from help from Elisha, that my husband, your servant, has died. You know how fervently he served the Lord. Now the debtors are going to put my boys into slavery. Jesus felt during his time of public work, of the he knew of the lackings of the people of Israel, and he became offended. Very skillfully you do the commandments of the Lord. That couldn't you, Moses is said to honor a father and thy mother. He who curses a father or mother, he will be punished by death. But you teach otherwise. If someone says to the father or mother, this which you must get from me, I have promised you this sacrificial gift, that you would not do anything on behalf of the father and mother. And in following this, you are making vain the word of God, and now you are doing the same. It's good to know your rights. And as we already quoted, this greatest commandment, that love God above all and your neighbor as thyself. Paul says that it has been spoken a lot how that in this temple of the Holy Spirit, how the cares for the body, how we should care for our body. And we were warned of these dangers which this time brings, sports and beauty, admiring beauty in moderation. Everyone can keep themselves up in moderation. But then if we go in the fourth verse, it says, and he would not for a while, but afterward. Here, the widow she is, according to habit, went to remind the judge repeatedly of her rights. If we would think of the prayer of the child of God, it could be that we have difficulty to be content, that God, it's hard for us to be content if God did answer our prayer in the time that we would have wanted. The judge for a long time did not agree to do anything. It demanded patience and faith, unfeigning. And Jesus has promised at the end of this parable that Jesus will answer speedily. Many times we are impatient, and we are somewhere between the prayer and the answer of the prayer. But this judge tarried to solve the matter for a very selfish reasons. He didn't fear God or care for man. Then it says of this judge that this widow is causing me trouble, is bothering me. In this, there would have been a reason for improvement. The judge is functioning in his office, and he should solve this issue. But the reason for his not taking so long was very selfish. But because of the woman's persistence, the judge began to solve it. Jesus pictures this very well. The life of man. How the fall into sin has corrupted man. God looked down from heaven. Will he find all had fallen short and become unacceptable? But God is a God of order. And he has given us this authority in his great wisdom. And because of his authority, he has commanded us to pray for our authority. We know that God is the creator and the controller of his creation. He says, plan will be fulfilled, and what I decide will happen. And Pilate answers Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power to free you?" You wouldn't have any power over me if it wouldn't have been given you from above. On the other hand, we believers are blamed for this, that we don't value prayer enough. But the truth of this is this, that prayer is important. Luther taught us the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, that we would know how to name and to honor him to which we pray, that we would be gracious and there is nothing that can make us more For this reason, it still pleases God and moves him the most to help us and so we can have received the great gift of prayer that is a child speaking to a loving father. In the Song of Zion, we can sing, remain in the shepherd. Jesus guides his sheep on this way of the cross, and we can remain securely believing. And you can uplift your heart to believe, all your sins forgiven in the name of our Redeemer and his precious atonement blood. And we say securely, maybe the power of grace carry us to when we reach heaven. Amen.